Spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the All Arizona Daily Download. Nothing but Arizona news stories on the Gatos and Chad Show.
Number three.
ASU wins, and so did COVID.
I understand they're college kids. They want to have fun. But, you know, they do have some civil responsibility in the fact that the hospitals are, you know, very, very full.
All right, that's Dr. Sam Durrani, okay? And he's saying, all right, well, at ASU, Sun Devil Stadium, their home opener last night, the Devils win. But if you looked at the stadium, it was the college kids who were packed into the student section. There weren't a lot of other people there otherwise, unless I was wrong in watching some of the clips of the game. So, you know, listen, the game was outside. That's good. The second thing is, I didn't really see a whole bunch of kids in a mask. I would have liked that. You know, the other thing is, some of these kids, I'm sure, were vaccinated. I just don't know what you quite do now when we're in the middle of this Delta variant and you've got a football game. You got to expect the kids that want to go to these games and want to have the college experience, Monica.
Well, yeah, when I pulled up the picture that AZ Family has on, I thought, well, what do they mean by super spreader? And I saw the picture and I went, oh, yeah, that's a super spreader because they're everywhere. But, I mean, they're all packed in. There's so many people there. But then again, Gatos, I mean, when can we ever stop calling events super spreaders? I mean, we have to live life at a certain point. It's been a year and a half. I mean, when can we stop worrying about this?
Well, I mean, I'm not ready to call it a super spreader because I don't think we know. And here's the other thing. I mean, I'm not going to be a hypocrite about this because, first of all, I went to two Suns playoff games, 16,000 people. Now, I know that was before Delta, but in a couple weeks, the Cardinals are going to kick off, and I have season tickets. I'm planning on going to the Cardinals game. I'm also planning on wearing a mask. And I didn't wear a mask necessarily for the Suns because in the arena, I mean...
Well, we thought we had COVID lit, so to speak.
We sure did.
Yeah.
And now we know that's not the case. So I got to tell you, I really don't know what to do here. You're a college kid. You've been waiting forever to get out of the house.
You're 10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Yeah.
Because you just had that tequila.
Right. And so I just pray that most of those kids got vaccinated.
Yeah.
I pray that some of them had a mask on. And you know what I also hope? I hope they go and get tested in the next few days because ASU is testing you if you want. You can find a test. That would probably be a good idea for the kids who went to the game.
The All Arizona Daily Download.
Number two.
Hacienda rapist cuts a deal.
The Hacienda healthcare nurse could face no more than a decade behind bars after pleading guilty to sexual assault and vulnerable adult abuse. Valley attorney Barry Markson says he's shocked at the possible sentencing.
We avoid a long, expensive trial, and the family members don't have to go through what would be a very traumatic trial and event for them, and he'll just go straight to prison. But it's interesting that he'll face no more than 10 years in prison.
All right, so I got to tell you, the sentencing, you know, of trying to put this guy away, are you only going to get, from what I read, you're only going to give this guy 5 years? He raped a number of times the same woman who was incapacitated, had no say in anything, couldn't move, and he just went in there and he did his thing every day. And, I want this guy to go to jail for a long time, Monica.
Well,
he's going to get him for 10 years, 20 years?
Well, he is going to go to prison for 5 to 10 years. Since this is a serious offense, he's looking at flat time. He's not going to get out on good behavior, or at least he shouldn't get out on good behavior. I'm not supposed to say this, being in the position that I'm in, but he is one of the most vile, disgusting, heinous, horrible people I can think of because it was a repeated rape of a woman who couldn't fight back, who couldn't even talk, who couldn't do anything at all. Oh. And if there was ever somebody to send, you know, to prison for a long time, it would be this guy. Because I do think he's a danger to our community. I think if he wasn't caught and sent to prison, he would do this over and over and over again to somebody else. So that's Monica coming out, not, you know, necessarily Monica the lawyer or the judge coming out. But I think that the judge will see and sentence him to higher on the scale, so closer to 10 than 5, because there's just, there's no excuse. There's no justification. There's nothing to make this guy or what he did look any better.
Did he cut a deal?
Well, yeah, anytime you enter into a plea deal, you're cutting a deal, right?
Okay.
It's an agreement to settle on something less
than what you get. Why doesn't the other side just say no, no deal?
Well,
The
other side is the state, and you don't want to put the family through that. And there's a chance that someone on the jury might side with him and go, yeah, you know, it wasn't that bad. I mean, she couldn't feel anything or, you know, some idiotic thoughts like that.
Okay.
But that could happen.
The All Arizona Daily Download. Number one.
A new home for the Coyotes.
The Arizona Coyotes have submitted a bid to build a new arena in Tempe. It would include an entertainment district on two parcels of city-owned land totaling 46 acres at the northeast corner of Priest Drive and Rio Salado Parkway. The Coyotes are leaving their current home, Gila River Arena in Glendale, because that city says it wants to attract more events beyond the hockey team. Taylor Tassler, KTAR News.
Yeah, like Glendale Arena says, all right, we don't really want the Coyotes here. We want to concentrate on, like, Harry Styles when he comes there. And
yeah.
I'm going to be there, Monica.
I know you are.
Oh, I'm going to be the only 48-year-old.
He's your man crush.
So the Coyotes.
Boy crush, I should say.
The Coyotes in Tempe. Listen, I don't want to lose the Arizona Coyotes.
I don't either, but
okay?
I don't blame Glendale for giving them the boot.
I don't think, first of all, the Coyotes, their fan base is on the east side. And for the fan base on the east side to have, let's say, a Wednesday night game. Can you imagine you're in Tempe, you got to fight traffic to go to the game. Then you've got to, you know, go all the way across town after the game. And then you're tired for the next day at work. That's what happens a lot. People from the east side went to the west side to see this team. Their fan base is not in Glendale. Most of their fans are on the east side for one reason or another. I would like the Coyotes to stay and, hey, build this great arena with, you know, put a whole bunch of stuff in it. Let's get some more restaurants. Let's just get some cool places.
Hey,
we
had all of that in Glendale. There's an entire area between the Cardinals Stadium and the Coyotes Stadium where there's restaurants and there's stores, and it's a fun place every time I've been out there. So that is there in Glendale, but the relationship between Glendale and the Coyotes went sour several years ago, and it's not going to get any better. Glendale probably looks at this as, you know what, we're not making very much money on this because, like you said, the fan base isn't coming. They're not spending the money. And we know that if we do other events and concerts when the concerts come back, that we could make more money. So I think it's a good decision for everybody as long as the taxpayers aren't footing the bill.
Amen. I don't want to pay that bill. Nobody wants to. Now, that doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. We don't want to do that anymore.
All right. The All Arizona Daily Download is brought to you by Parker & Sons Plumbing and Electrical, two-time winner of the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award.
All right. Monica's in for Chad. I'm Gatos. We've got coming up next, are you traveling over Labor Day? Is it even worth booking a trip these days during a pandemic? We're going to talk about that.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The Gatos and Chad Show, afternoons.
The busiest airports, Atlanta, Chicago, O'Hare, and LAX. Planes will be packed, but so will the roads. About 34 million drivers are expected. The national average for gas ticking up now at $3.18 a gallon.
Wow. Let's go to KTAR.com, take the Gatos BQ poll question of the day. It's brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Hop on with my buddy Mike Broomhead at 8:50 and debut the question. So are you traveling over Labor Day weekend? Four options. A, yes, by car. B, yes, by plane. C, nope, staying home. D, none of your business, Gatos.
I'm with most, and I said nope. I'm staying home. 59% of people say they're staying home. Now, I would like to know the reasons. There should have been a follow-up Big Q poll.
Nope, only one a day. I try not to work hard.
Yeah. I know that.
I think, Monica, you make a brilliant point. Why? All right? So let's discuss. All right, so my wife and I were supposed to go to Jamaica on Sunday her sister's turning 50 and our niece is turning 30. And it was a really big deal. And so my wife came down with COVID, but the great thing is she's vaccinated. And if the vaccine is working, she feels very mild symptoms. And we're separated and, you know, in the house. And unfortunately, we obviously had to cancel our plan to Jamaica. We said, we didn't know when we made those plans that the Delta variant would be here, but we weren't going to cancel either. We were going to go. So the pandemic stopped us from going because she ended up testing positive for COVID. But before that, we were ready to go. And is it a risk? Of course, it's a little bit of a risk. But we're both vaccinated. We'll mask up on the plane. We were ready to go. So we were going to travel by plane. I know a lot of people in the Valley travel, of course, by car. They go up north. And sometimes that's a real nightmare, especially on the I-17. Monica, you're married. You got two kids. You're not going anywhere for Labor Day. Why?
No, well, because I'm a substitute judge, right? And I'm a substitute radio host, right?
No.
So
I refuse to believe that you're a substitute for anything.
Oh,
you are the best
you,
radio
you.
Host.
Aw. Anyway, so I just
have the best judge, and you're the best lawyer, and you're the best mom.
Okay. All right. I'll pay you later. Okay. So it's just that I had tons of stuff to do this weekend. I have work to do. I have kiddos in tournaments. We have, you know, home projects we need to do. So it was more about that than it was anything else. Now, if we were going to travel somewhere by plane, train, or automobile, I would have to think about, you know, is it safe to go? And although most of us are vaccinated, my youngest is not. So it would come into my thought process.
Hey, how are you dealing with your youngest being unvaccinated? Because, you know, it's a similar situation that my brother, the doctor in Atlanta, has. He is vaccinated. His wife is vaccinated. Little Ellie is not little Ellie anymore. She's 13, so she got vaccinated. But Cassie is 10, and she is unvaccinated. So they still try and because George is a mess,
mm-hmm.
They still try and keep her somewhat in a bubble. They're not locking her down, but are you doing something similar with your youngest?
Well, we have him wear masks, and my older son will wear mask too, pretty much wherever we go. But I don't take them to Costco. I don't take them to the grocery store. Normally, I would make them come with me to do errands.
Okay.
If I'm going to go do errands and they come with me, they stay in the car. They are old enough. They're 10 and 13, so they know how to unlock the doors and, you know,
sure,
do that kind of thing. And then I just make sure that they clean their hands as much as possible, keep their hands away from their face. I mean, just some of that stuff is mom stuff you do anyway, but there are things that I'm doing that I wouldn't have done 2 years ago. You know, I would drag them all over the place with
sure
me.
Sure.
And so we are trying to take precautions, you know, as much as we can, but, you know.
Will you go to a game? Would you have gone to the ASU game yesterday?
I would have gone with my older son, but I don't think I would have taken my younger one. Just if it was going to be packed, yes. If it would be like some of the baseball games that we've gone to this summer,
right,
where there's nobody there, then no.
That's one good thing about the Diamondbacks being
right?
absolutely awful.
Yeah, there was nobody at the games. There was plenty of room. So it would depend on the event. Now, we have gone to movie theaters, but I have also had them wear their masks unless they were eating something. And then as soon as they're done eating, I have them put the mask on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, every parent has their own rules for their kids. And, you know, maybe that's going into a little bit of what's happening over Labor Day. I'm interested to see how busy Sky Harbor is. I'm sure it's going to be busy for people going up north. Why wouldn't it be? If I had a place up north, I'd probably go up north this weekend.
You mean like Utah or Idaho or something?
No, like Prescott or Munns Park or, you know, Flagstaff or something like that.
Well, the airport's not going to be packed.
I'm talking about in your car.
Oh, okay.
You're going to drive up north.
Yeah, and get stuck in all those traffic accidents that inevitably happen. No way.
No, it's tough because you're stuck in that for a while.
You are. There is no way around it. And so if someone in your car has COVID, you are definitely getting it.
So what is next Labor Day going to be like?
Well, remember last Labor Day, we were thinking, oh, goodness, in a year, this should be all done and over with. We'll be okay. So I guess it's the same thing now. You know, we got to keep our fingers crossed and hope that we're not dealing with, you know, the triple Z virus or something.
Yeah. There's some new MU virus, M-U, that they're keeping their eye on. And I got to tell you, I don't think I can keep my eye on these. I don't want to know what's coming up next.
No, I don't either.
I'm almost to the point where it's just like, don't name these viruses. I don't want to know it, you know.
Well, because there's nothing
sure
we can do except get the shot if it's available to us. You know, keep our hands clean, be smart. You know, that's about it.
That's all you can do. Absolutely. All right, coming up next. Monica, since you're the lawyer, you're the judge, right? I want you to explain this Texas anti-abortion bill.
Oh, boy.
I know. Biden says he's going to fight it. But I think what we need to discuss is it coming to Arizona soon? Because Florida, you know, is it going to come to a red state near you? Florida, well, Texas wrote it up. Florida's going to copy it. Well, I mean, I would assume Arizona with our governor and our legislator, they're Republican, they might do it as well. But what does it really mean for women and their rights in Texas? What are they allowed to do and what aren't they allowed to do when it comes to this huge issue? We're going to talk about that next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news, seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, coming up at 4:05, the most insane anti-mask story you're ever going to hear. It took place in a school and, of course, in Arizona.
God, we are so strange sometimes.
We've made national news for the wrong reasons.
Like usual.
All right, Monica. The Texas state law that bans abortion after 6 weeks into pregnancy. The president says it's almost un-American. Listen, I know a lot of people that like what Texas did. And I know a lot of people that don't like what Texas did. This is one of those issues that's very, you know, you know where you stand on it. And people love to argue about this. And so, since you're the lawyer, can you tell us what women in Texas can do and can't do when it comes to ending a pregnancy?
All right. So
let me just say one more thing. I'm sorry. The reason that I want to know that is because a lot of red states are going to copy this law, including Arizona, possibly. So I wanted to preface that. Go ahead.
Okay. So the Texas law, it was signed back in May, and it took effect this week. It bans abortions after 6 weeks. Okay. So after 6 weeks. So basically no abortions once there's a fetal heartbeat. So once you hear the heartbeat of the baby, no abortions. This also allows individuals, and it didn't say who in particular, but any individual to turn around and file a civil lawsuit against anybody who helps a woman get an abortion or even a medical provider. If they help a woman get an abortion after 6 weeks. So that's, in a nutshell, what you're looking at. Now, that is opposite, I would say legally, that's opposite of Roe v. Wade, which is the Supreme Court decision back in 1973 that gave women, pregnant women, liberty to choose whether to have an abortion or not without excessive government restriction. So basically, it's okay for the government to put restrictions in, but it can't be excessive government restriction, and you can't completely take the choice away from a woman. And what you'll see is arguments on one side that the Texas law does take the decision away from a woman over what happens to her body. The other side is, you know, a baby is a baby. The minute you hear the heartbeat, they have a right to be alive, and you can't take that right away from them. So those are the two arguments that you're looking at. I think one significant thing that people need to think about is, from what I can tell, and I haven't dug super deep into the Texas law, is that I'm not sure there's any exceptions for a woman who has been raped and ends up being pregnant due to the rape. Stranger rape, date rape, whatever rape it may be, rape is rape. Or complications to the mother's health. So in other words, if it's after 6 weeks and the woman finds out that she's pregnant and she had been raped, there's nothing she can do about it. Texas forces her to have that baby. Same thing that if it's life and death and she has a high probability of dying if she carries this baby to term, Texas says, too bad, you have to have the baby. So that's what I'm not sure about the Texas law, but that's very scary. So those are the arguments that you're going to see on both sides there. And then to even think about, Gatos, if you and I were in Texas and I had, I was pregnant, and let's say I found out at 6.5 weeks that I was pregnant, which by the way, is not unreasonable and happens more often than what you would think. You could, and someone helps me get an abortion, you can turn around and sue them and get money for that.
So let's talk about that part of it. Monica Lindstrom is our legal expert, and we're talking about the Texas law on abortion. So I saw this article, Lyft and Uber had to come out and say this today, that we will cover the legal costs of drivers in Texas who might be sued for driving a woman to an abortion clinic.
That's so unbelievable.
So that's kind of the road that you were going down.
Yeah.
About anyone who surrounds the woman who wants to go get an abortion could get sued.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so what this is, what people are saying is this is going to drive women to go to illegal providers that aren't licensed to try to get those abortions after 6 weeks, which could lead to significant health issues and death to the women.
Okay.
And sometimes the abortions aren't always effective. And so then you can have babies born with significant birth defects.
Okay, and I don't want to oversimplify this because this is not my area of expertise. That's why we're having you on about it. You could leave Texas and go to another state, correct?
Oh, yeah, you definitely could move. But the thing is that
not move, take a trip.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of women.
I know.
That, okay, first of all, what man, first of all, or politician has the right to tell a woman what she can and can't do with their body? Okay, that's Monica talking as a woman, okay?
I hear you, yes.
Number two, what about those women that cannot afford to be able to leave the state to go somewhere to get an abortion, okay?
Right. Yes.
And if they turn around and someone helps them get out of the state, arguably, if they come back to the state, could that person be sued for that? Which number just blows my mind that these politicians are that pig-headed and have their heads somewhere that it shouldn't be. I mean, it's just, it's really a crazy law. But what's really concerning to a lot of people in our country is, what is this going to do to Roe v. Wade? And in fact, our president, President Biden, came out and said that this is unconstitutional. This has the potential to unleash unconstitutional chaos. And he said, complete strangers will now be empowered to inject themselves in the most private and personal health decisions faced by women. I might not always agree with Biden, but on this, I was happy to hear that he had some strong language when it came to this.
All right. And the next thing we'll do is we'll see if this law is copied by Arizona. I'm not going to be surprised if it is.
Stop it. Take it back.
Well, you have to look at who's running the legislature and who's in the governor's office. It's all Republican. You have to take that into consideration. If Florida is going to do this, Texas, Arizona, possibly a lot of the red states, it would be probable that Arizona would.
It's
go
going
down
to
this
be
road
a health
too.
Crisis. I'll tell you that if that's what happens.
All right, Monica, thanks for explaining that to us. All right, coming up next, man, Biden, goodness gracious, he's been a disaster the last few weeks. He was out in New Orleans today looking at the wreckage from Ida. But there's a new poll out on how we all feel about this president. It ain't good, put it that way. We'll talk about it on the Gatos and Chad Show.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news, seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, the Outlaw Music Festival featuring Willie Nelson and family, the Avett Brothers. Am I saying that right? The Avett Brothers, A-V-E-T-T, and Lucinda Williams is heading to Auction Pavilion on October 15th. Tickets go on sale this Thursday at 10 a.m., but you can win a pair of tickets now by heading to the contest page on KTAR.com. Sounds like quite a concert, Gatos.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. You know, Guns N' Roses was just here this week.
Ooh, Guns N' Roses, yeah, Willie Nelson. Wow, two of my least favorite bands and artists.
Well, oh, how do you not like Guns N' Roses? What's the matter with you? Okay, not your
I have
deal.
Taste. I don't know what.
That's awful. They were they were at Phoenix Suns Arena, whatever they're calling it, the Big Footprint Arena or something like that.
Yep.
They were down there at on Monday, I believe. So, yeah, I mean, concerts are coming back. A lot of places you got to be vaccinated.
Mine keep getting canceled.
Which one got canceled?
I had who did I have? Florida Georgia Line got canceled, and then either Jason Aldean or Luke Bryan got canceled because I got the email from Ticketmaster, but I don't know which one got canceled yet.
They're no good anyway. You don't want to see
them. Oh, stop it. They're better than Harry Styles.
Now, that's just blasphemy. Monica, we got some poll numbers on President Biden. They're terrible. Listen, I'm an independent. I say it all the time. I saw a few things in the first few years of Trump in terms of policies that were pretty good. Others were wretched. But then he had the worst year a president could have, at least in my lifetime, in 2020. I didn't lose the election. I created a riot on January 6th, et cetera, et cetera. Joe Biden, I mean, goodness gracious, this guy's a disaster too. So just this is Afghanistan, okay, and it deals with Biden at the end. Just 36% of Americans say the war was worth fighting. It's a really low number, and it's a sad number because –
Not Biden's fault.
No, definitely not. There was 77% support for the U.S. withdrawing. Here's the sticking point. How Biden handled the exit. 60% disapprove of the way he did it. I don't know how the other 40 think this went well. I don't know how the other 40 say he did a good job.
Maybe the other 40 are the true believers for Biden.
Doesn't matter. See, that's what annoys me about politics. It's like, it's amazing how if you're on the right or if you're on the left, your person never messes up.
Well, it's because you also, I think there's part of it that you don't want to be seen as a hypocrite, right? You don't want to sit there and sing all of Biden or the Democrats' praises or the Republicans or whatever side you're on. You don't want to sing all their praises, say how wonderful it is, and then all of a sudden when they do something wrong, because they will, because everybody does, right, you turn around and say, oh, but they shouldn't have done that. You look like a hypocrite.
No, let me tell you how this should work. You should treat your politics like you treat, let's say you're an Arizona Cardinals fan. You go to the game, you're ready to root your team, and Kyler Murray stinks, but he's your favorite player. You got to say, listen, you stunk today. Don't give him credit for, oh, well, he just had, you know, his offensive
line. That's a good point, Gatos.
Nobody,
I kind of like that.
Thank you very much, Monica.
Yeah, good
job. More brilliance from us coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. All right.